Throughout Scripture, we find a lot of different themes that take place. We see the theme of forgiveness. We see the theme of compassion. We see the theme of obedience. We see themes of relationships and healthy relationships, of mercy. And we see a theme of grace, and the list can just go on and on and on. But this morning I want to begin looking at this theme of grace that runs through the pages of Scripture. And what I really want us to look at this morning as we're talking about this theme of grace is the idea of saving grace, of God saving grace to us. God saving grace that reaches down from the heavens to the earth and gives us opportunity to be in relationship with Him. I want you to turn with me this morning to Psalms chapter 145. It's going to be page 447 if you're using one of the church Bibles. Psalm 145, we're just going to look at verse 8 right now. Verse 8 reads like this. It says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. When it comes to salvation, many people, to some degree, think that it's something that we have to work towards, that it's something that we have to earn from God. We think that we need to be good enough, or we need to go to church enough, or we need to pray enough, or we need to give enough. If the Bible is clear on anything, it's clear on this. There is nothing that you or I can do to earn the saving grace of God. It is a gift. I want you to listen to the passage I just read to you earlier one more time. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. If you have your own Bibles, that word gracious is a good one to underline or to circle. Scripture teaches that God is gracious. He loves to be gracious to you. He loves to be gracious to me. And that means that God loves to bless the people who don't deserve it. He loves to bless you and I, even though we don't deserve it. God loves showing favor to us. For a believer, for a Christian, grace is the heart of our faith. It has to be the heart of our faith. It's the center of our relationship with God. It's what allows us to have a relationship with God. When we come to understand that our salvation is based on grace, we're drawn closer to God and will be more and more in love with God as we understand that. I want us to understand that there is a clear difference between the idea of, or the word, mercy and grace. And oftentimes those words go hand in hand with each other, but there's a clear difference in what they mean. We are talking about grace today. So mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve, right? When God doesn't punish us, even though we deserve punishment. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. When God chooses to bless us some way, shape, or form. That's what we're talking about, is God's grace. If you're going to check out for the rest of the service, that's fine, but I just want you to catch this one line right here, and then you can check out, and we'll consider it a success, okay? Catch this line. God's saving grace is the greatest blessing to anyone who will receive it. Those last words are important. Who will receive it? Because you and I, we have to choose to receive God's saving grace. So this morning I want us to look at five different aspects of God's saving grace. The first one is this. God's saving grace, it's a gift to us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, page 827. Ephesians 2, chapter 8. And as I said, this is a theme, this idea of grace is a theme that flows all throughout Scripture. So you're going to notice in the weeks to come that we're going to be going throughout Scripture to look at different examples of what we're talking about. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Again, if you're a person that likes underlining in your Bibles, it is the gift of God. That is such an important fact for us to understand and to remember and to know in our heart of hearts, is that this is a free gift to you and to me from God. Scripture teaches that, salvation is something that God hands to us. I like the way that Paul says it in Ephesians 2, chapter 8, in the New Living Testament, just words it a little bit differently than what we read. It says this: "God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this." You can't take credit for this. You can't earn this. You can't do anything. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough. There's nothing you can do. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God, he goes on to say. If my salvation is based on the fact that I'm good, then I can take credit for it. But if it's a free gift from God, I have nothing to brag about except for God's amazing grace. I can take no credit at all for my salvation. God in His mercy and His grace has given it to me even though I don't deserve it. There isn't anything that you can do to save, we can do to save ourselves. It's all because of a loving God that offers us His saving grace. So the first thing that we look at is God's saving grace. It's a gift to all of us. The second thing is God's saving grace. It must be received. Remember, I said that in that one sentence that I hope that you take home with you today. I said that's the only thing you get. Get that. Talk about receiving it. A gift is useless if the person doesn't receive it that it's intended for. I can sit here today and I could write out a check for $1,000 to you and hand it to you, but that check does nothing for you if you don't receive it and take it and cash it and do something with it. Right? In Ecclesiastes, we're told that when God gives somebody wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot, it goes on to say, and to be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. That's Ecclesiastes 5:19. Another translation translates it just a little bit differently. It says, when God gives somebody wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to take His reward, is what it says. To take His reward, to receive it, to be happy in their toil, because it is a gift from God. This same principle that we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is true of salvation. We must take our reward. We must take what God is offering to us, a relationship with Him. A gift is absolutely useless unless it is taken, unless we choose to receive it. And then it has purpose. God says, take it. I'm giving it to you. Take it. This is a gift. Rejoice in it. Enjoy it. Benefit from it. The key to God's saving grace is faith. And we need to remember this. The way that we receive this gift that God offers to us is only through faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 that we read earlier, it says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for it. It is a gift from God when you believed. Saving grace is activated by our belief. It's activated by our faith. That is a critical part to the process. In Galatians, our good friend Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Notice that Paul says that he now lives by faith in the Son of God. By faith. Paul recognized that Christ died on the cross for his sins, and then he put his faith into action. He received the free gift that God had to offer to him. So I ask you this question. Have you received the gift that God offers to you? Have you received the gift of salvation that God offers to you? The third item I would like for us to look at this morning is God's saving grace is available to everyone. When it comes to grace, God doesn't play any kind of favorites. Doesn't matter to God whether you're tall or short, whether you're heavy or skinny, whether you're young or old, female, male, dark skin, light skin, doesn't matter. None of it matters. Regardless of your background, regardless of your status, regardless of the sin that is a part of your life, God is more than willing to show you His grace. God extends His grace to you. Doesn't matter. It's for everyone. I have you turn with me to the book of Titus, page 844, the Pew Bibles. In Titus chapter 2, we're going to read verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." The Message Bible just translates it a little bit differently. It says, "God's readiness to give and forgive is now public." And it goes on to say, "Salvation available for everyone." Salvation available for everyone. God's saving grace, it's available to you. You don't deserve it. None of us do. You can't earn it. But God is willing to give it to you today. In the book of Acts, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2, he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord." You know how this is? You know how this ends? "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's saving grace. It's available to anyone who will open up their heart to faith. Go ahead and, again, if you're one of those people that like to underline words, that word "everyone" is so important for us to understand. And here's where that word really gets interesting, is in a world that's full of pain and hurt, in a world that's full of sin and disappointment, God's saving grace is offered to everyone. Even the people that cause that pain and hurt and disappointment. You think of the nastiest of the nasty situations that you see on the news tonight. Guess what? God extends His saving grace to that person. Just think about that. It's available for everyone. There's no occupancy rate in heaven. It's available for everyone. Fourthly, God's saving grace comes through Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ." You know why God's saving grace is given through Jesus Christ and not through somebody else? It's because Jesus was the one that paid the price for each one of us. God's saving grace, it's free to us, absolutely, but it did not come cheaply. It came at a great cost. Jesus paid that cost for us. And because of that, He's the one that can now offer us this saving grace. Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That in our lives, we are going to miss the mark. We have missed the mark. But God's saving grace allows us a new start. We've all sinned. And the truth of the matter is that God does not ignore our sin. Understand me on that. Just because He offers us a saving grace, He doesn't ignore our sin. He knows everything that we've done wrong, every sinful action, every unkind word that we've spoken, every wicked thought that we've had. God is aware of them. And He did something about it. John chapter 3 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And then it goes on to say in verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That's God's saving grace. Christ on the cross paid our sin. It comes through Christ only. And then the fifth and final point that I want to make this morning is God's saving grace. It's forever. It's for eternity. It goes on and on. Again, in Romans, Paul shares these words from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Many are familiar with it. "For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ." The result of God's saving grace is going to go on and on forever and ever in our lives, because the result of God's saving grace in our lives is an eternity with God. You say the grace is the gift that just keeps on giving, right? God saves the best for last. And the best is yet to come. With Jesus Christ, it just keeps getting better and better as we go on the journey. Scripture, time and time again, tells us that the free gift of God is this eternal life that we have in heaven. And there are several different parts in Scripture that kind of give us a little bit of a picture of what this heaven looks like, what it will be like to be there. One of the things that it says is that it will be a place of reunion. We'll be reunited with those that we loved and those who have accepted God's saving grace. It tells us that it'll be a place of reward. We'll be rewarded for how we lived our lives. We'll be rewarded for how we obediently followed God's word and call in our lives. We'll be rewarded. And it's a place of release where there's no more pain, there's no more sadness or sorrow, no more suffering. It will be a place where all grief and all depression, all loneliness is gone. It will be a wonderful place. Scripture tells us, goes on and on and on. Today we've talked about God's saving grace. The greatest gift anybody can ever offer to you. It's been offered. Scripture's clear about that. Perhaps you've already in your life been at a place where you've accepted Jesus Christ, where you've asked Christ into your life. And that is awesome. That's great news. It's the best decision you can ever possibly make in your life, is to choose to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. So we celebrate that alongside you this morning if you've made that decision. But maybe, perhaps, there are some here that haven't made that decision. Or you made that decision, but you walked away from it. You just kind of turned your back on it. You went on living your life the way that you chose to live your life instead of according to God's Word. And this morning, I just want to give you that opportunity. If you fall into one of those two categories, to experience, to receive God's saving grace. to make that decision in your life. It's not something that is passed on from one generation to another generation. Because my mom and dad knew Jesus Christ in their life doesn't mean that Dustin does. Right? It's an individual, personal decision that you make. So where are you with God? Have you made that decision? Have you asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, I'm going to encourage you to pray along with me right now. So we all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I realize that I can never be good enough to earn a place in eternity with you. I realize that the only way that I will get there is by your saving grace. So Father God, forgive me for thinking that I could be good enough or that I could do enough to win your approval. I thank you that you give me what I need, Lord God, and not what I deserve. Heavenly Father, grant me your saving grace today. Allow me to commit myself to following you today and every day for the rest of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. With your head still bowed, this is the absolute most important decision that anybody can make in their lives. So with your head still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, I would like to know, because I want to be able to walk with you. I want to be able to pray for you as you enter into this new journey with Christ. So if you prayed that prayer this morning, I'm just going to ask that you either make eye contact with me or raise your hand so I know how I can walk with you. All right. Very good. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for the way that you've been at work in this place this morning. We celebrate along with those that have made decisions to follow you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, because we know that when people make those kind of decisions, that there's nothing that makes Satan more upset, more angry. So, Father God, we just pray for your hedge of protection around each of those individuals this morning. We would pray, Lord God, as they faithfully and obediently try to follow you, that you will just walk alongside them, guide them, and keep them encouraged in that journey. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.